Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
I'm going to be your host today, Aaron Schneider.
And I'm Angie Fryermew.
Today, I'm very excited to have with us Jennifer Moyer, the Chief of the Regulatory Program at CORE Headquarters, to talk with us about the Regulatory Request System, which is the CORE's new online regulatory web application portal. And Angie, I know, working in the government for so many years, I feel like it has taken us a while with our technology to be accessible to the public, and our websites are maybe a little bit behind the curve. So I'm super excited to hear about this new tool from Regulatory, and really something that, as I understand, is going to make it simpler for applicants and provide great information to others. But I don't know if you've had any experience with, the CORE's websites or application portals and the challenges that we've had there.
I think you pretty much nailed it on the head, Aaron. We are a little late to the game on some of that. So I am excited to see that we do have this new tool to help others.
All right. So with that, before we get into the new tool, Jennifer, welcome. Before we get into talking about the regulatory request system, could you just tell us about yourself and your role with the CORE?
Thanks. Yes, absolutely. But first, I want to thank you, Aaron and Angie, for the opportunity to join you on Inside the Castle. I have to have a confession that podcasts are one of my favorite ways to keep myself busy and occupied as I'm commuting to and from work and just doing chores done at home. So it's great fun for me to be inside the machine with you two today. Plus, the opportunity to talk about my favorite things, the CORE and the CORE's regulatory program, makes this even more special to share this time with you. So just a little bit about me. As you said, I'm Jennifer Moyer, and I'm the chief of the CORE's regulatory program, which is a phenomenal role to have here at headquarters. I've been in this role since 2012, first in an acting role for about a year and a half, and I permanently became the chief starting in 2014. And since 2014, I've had two phenomenal opportunities to step outside my regulatory chief role. I served as the Assistant for Water Resources Policy in the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Civil Works for almost a year. And just recently, I've returned from a year and a half assignment as the Deputy Director for NEPA and Infrastructure at the White House Council for Environmental Quality. So that was a phenomenal opportunity, but I'm really happy to be back at the CORE and back in my role as the regulatory chief. I've worked for the CORE for a little bit over 30 years. I started in the Baltimore District in our planning division. Shortly after joining the Baltimore District, about 3 years into that career, I found my home in the regulatory program in the Baltimore District. I worked there primarily evaluating permit applications on large transportation projects and other infrastructure projects. And in 2002, I was hired by headquarters onto the regulatory program team. And since then, I've served in a variety of roles on this team and have supported the delivery of the regulatory program to the nation since then. So I've been here for a while, and I'm excited to talk to you today about the regulatory request system.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for joining us today, and we're happy to have you here. So let's get into it. So can you tell us what RRS stands for?
I sure can. RRS does stand for the Regulatory Request System, and we love our acronyms just like anybody else in the Corps of Engineers does. The Regulatory Request System is a new national online application portal and management platform. And it provides a straightforward, transparent process for the timely submittal and review of permit requests from the public. The beta application became available in January, and since that time, we've been adding enhancements, with the biggest addition coming at the end of May, with the ability for the public to apply for a permit through the portal. The RRS application was developed to create an efficient process for the public to electronically upload project information and receive automated project numbers, point of contact information, and status updates via this online system. RRS reduces duplicative data entry, by the applicant and then again by the Corps by crosswalking information directly into our database inside the Corps of Engineers, which we call ORM2. It's an acronym within an acronym, and I won't go into what ORM2 stands for, but it's our internal database, which is our database of record for the regulatory program. These technological advancements promote the public's understanding of the regulatory program, increase transparency, and improve our permitting timelines.
That's really exciting that regulatory is, I guess I'll say, finally getting to the system. I was kind of curious when you're talking about this. It's amazing to me that we didn't have it yet, but how do things work today? How does regulatory actually get applications and information to the public? And then why did you find it necessary to develop the system? Is, you know, what you're doing today not working?
That's a great question, Aaron. Thanks for asking that. You know, prior to our launch of RRS, we were receiving permit applications via the mail, regular old snail mail. Folks were emailing them. We had a fillable PDF so they could get them to us in those ways. And I wouldn't say it wasn't working. It was just a bit cumbersome. And so this is a great step forward for us in that sense. And RRS is also a great tool for the public to find general information on the regulatory program. Also, as I mentioned, submit individual and general permit applications, request pre-application meetings, request jurisdictional determinations. And if they want and they have this information, they can report a potential violation of the Clean Water Act or the Rivers and Harbors Act to the Corps of Engineers as well. A key thing that's really great to know is that there is the ability to receive those status updates online. And previous to launching RRS, the only way to get those status updates was to call the regulator assigned to your permit application if you knew who that was, or you would call the general regulatory line in a district office and ask, and then you would be transferred to somebody on the phone, and then they would look you up in the database, look up your permit application in the database. So we've reduced a lot of that time that our regulators were taking looking up information, and now permit requesters or requesters of a jurisdictional determination can see that status online in real time. Not that we won't answer their calls and answer their questions, but they can access a lot of that information for themselves, which I know as someone who, when I make an order online, I want to check the status of my order. I don't necessarily want to call somebody and ask them. I want to see it because I'm very impatient.
That's really understandable. And I was kind of chuckling because, you know, the impatience aspect of it. But then we talked about using snail mail and even emails for that matter, or calling someone on the phone. I guess, you know, they're all good tools if you're comfortable with that. But the reality is, you know, in the 21st century, we've sort of moved beyond that. And a web portal is a good thing. Wanted to give our listeners the magnitude of the program. Like, how many permits do you process a year? Because if you're getting, you know, 500 emails a year, that's not terrible. But if it's 100,000, it seems like it'd be awful. Like, where's regulatory in the realm of permits?
Great question. I'm always happy to brag on the hard work that our regulators around the nation are doing. So for FY23, I'll use those stats. We have responded to approximately 50,000 written requests for permit authorizations under a general permit, and about 3,000 requests for an individual permit authorization, and then about 25,000 requests for jurisdictional determinations. So the magnitude of these requests are quite large. So this system will, even if it takes just a percentage of those and automates them for the requesters as well as for regulators in the field, that will be phenomenal for us and for the regulated public.
Well, this sounds like a great tool, and I'm sure you guys have some features built in that help you develop and fix things as you move along. You mentioned a beta version, so I'm assuming that there's more versions. How you plan to move forward with this beta?
Yes. So we rolled out RRS as a beta version so that we can add those new features in real time as they're being developed. And so we can also fix any bugs that are identified or as we uncover them and improve the system based on the feedback of applicants and other users of the system as we go. It's important that I mention that as we developed the system, we identified a cadre of potential users, and they helped us do a pre-beta test before we launched it so that we could make sure that our initial user experience was at least tested on potential users of the system. And as we go, we're still counting on that initial group of beta testers, as well as now that it's live, we are soliciting feedback. There's a button on RRS that folks can click and provide us feedback. There's a help desk where folks can send questions or say, I'm stuck, and send us a question, and we are responding to all of those help desk questions within 24 hours. So we are continuing to take that feedback because we know that that feedback from users is essential to making RRS the best system that it can be. We will transition from the beta version at some point, but it's not going to be a fast transition because right now we're continuing to add features. We've got some features still planned for rollout in this year. For example, we're going to be adding the ability to submit multiple requests at once, like the request for a delineation report and a permit application for the same parcel of land. We're adding that shortly. That came from a user or a series of users. We're adding an enhanced dashboard feature. So the ability to track and provide status updates for multiple requests within the system will be rolled out later this FY. And then a key component which interests me and interests a lot of our users and interested members of the public who may not have applications but who are interested in commenting on our active permit applications are the ability to add comments on our public notices within RRS will be rolled out this year. And so it'll be a one-stop shop to the regulatory program for our applications that are out there. And then further on down the line, we're planning to add features to integrate our mitigation bank and in lieu fee program information. That was a very long answer to why is it in beta? And that's why, because it is a live system. We're continuing to evolve. And we know we need to learn from our users, listen to their feedback, improve the tool, and especially improve the user experience. Because I think that one thing that I've learned throughout this entire process is that as we transition from having a very internally based process to one that is out there for the public to use, we have to transition our language into plain speak. And that is a lot of the feedback we're getting, which is, I don't know what this means. I don't know what you're asking for. And we have to continue to do that and make this an experience that the public wants to use. And we're still in that process. So I'm very interested for our listeners, especially listeners that aren't part of the Corps of Engineers, since we don't regulate ourselves, for our listeners that may be interested in submitting a permit application through RRS, try it out and tell us what you think. The link is rrs@usace.army.mil. Click on it, check it out. Folks, in order to use the system, you'll have to sign up for a login.gov account. That's a bit of a process, but you may already have one. You can use your existing login.gov account if you've got one.
That's really exciting. And I really want to compliment you and your team for rolling out a beta version. I think in government, a lot of times there's so much pressure to be perfect and have it right and make sure that, you know, the public has a great experience right out of the gate, and obviously want a good experience out of the gate. But you learn by testing and doing. And I think it's, you know, every video game I've ever played, there's always a beta version, and you always want to get into the beta version because you can like mess around with it and figure out the bugs and tweaks, but ultimately it makes for a better gaming experience for others. So, you know, the fact that you guys are leveraging that same concept, I think is a really great move. And I wish to see that government where, you know, you kind of try things and put yourself out there and if it doesn't work out, adjust course. So really great job for you and your team for taking that approach. And I suspect that, you know, everybody that's listening to this podcast probably is more willing to go onto a website and fill out an application. But we know not everybody's listening to the podcast and not everybody's used to online portals. I'm just kind of curious, are you still going to be accepting emails and phone calls and snail mail for applications for those that might not want to use the system yet?
Absolutely. Applicants are still able to submit requests and supporting information by traditional mail or by emailing electronic submittals to the appropriate regulatory office. And with that said, we're encouraging applicants to try RRS. But we understand that not everyone will have access to it or feel comfortable on the platform. And so we absolutely will accept applications in all of the traditional ways, as well as through RRS. And we're here to help. So if someone is interested in trying RRS, but they want somebody on the phone with them as they're trying it, our district offices are all equipped to help folks as they're working through RRS as well. And furthermore, it may be appropriate to use existing processes in districts that have joint permit applications with their state offices or other local processes that aren't yet available in RRS. We're currently working on developing joint permit application forms within RRS with those states with whom we share joint permit applications. So if an applicant's confused, call your local office and ask them what their best option forward is. One thing I want to make clear about joint permit applications, if applicants want to use RRS and submit their core application, or they just want to submit their joint permit application via their normal processes, you don't have to do both. You just have to submit your joint permit application, and you don't have to submit your core application too. So to answer your original question, Aaron, you don't have to use RRS if you feel comfortable or you don't want to. You can submit them the normal ways that you're used to, but we do encourage folks to use RRS if you're interested.
So I'm curious, will this affect the joint permit application process used in some of the states?
It's a great question. Joint permit applications aren't available yet in RRS, but we're working on it. And we're going to keep folks updated throughout the year as we add joint permit applications to RRS as we work through the process of developing them in partnership with the states. We're currently assessing them and working with our state partners to identify the unique data fields that will allow us to generate these state forms. And applicants should continue to utilize existing processes until we have those forms generated within RRS. As I mentioned previously, applicants who submit a joint permit application don't need to submit a separate application using RRS. You just need to submit your joint permit application. And I just want to further emphasize, we're eager to work with our state and federal agency partners to establish efficient and effective processes to accept and share applicant information and data that can then inform multiple regulatory processes and decisions. This is part of that, making sure all of our processes are efficient and effective to allow us to make these informed decisions across multiple agencies and really serve our public in the best way possible.
Thanks, Jennifer. And I think I kind of get the idea here of, you know, the huge benefits of the system. Obviously, I think you talked a little bit about around 80,000 actions that you guys deal with a year in regulatory. And even if you save, you know, a matter of minutes for each of those actions, that is a ton of time saving. So the benefit to the Corps of Engineers is really obvious to me. It seems like the benefit to the applicant is also pretty obvious. A streamlined system to apply makes things easier, reportable. But could you just summarize for our listeners, really, as an applicant, what the benefits are that they can expect to see from this process?
Absolutely. And thanks for the opportunity to do that. We have three main areas that we think this system will benefit the applicant in. And the first one is that it's innovative. They can say sayonara to the hassle of preparing and submitting paper applications. And I would think that would really make a lot of them smile. It's all online. It's automated. And they don't have to keep track of all that paper and bundling it up or even submitting a fillable PDF, which can be cumbersome and really frustrating at times. Second, it's streamlined and efficient. It reduces some of the effort associated with processing applications and data entry on their part and on our part. Each entry block on the form in the online portal has guides to help them figure out what goes in those blocks. It doesn't let them pass the blocks if they haven't answered the question, if we need that information to be able to move to the next step of our process. So it's almost fail-safe in the sense that once they hit submit, if the system lets them hit submit, they know we'll be able to move to the next step of our process. And thirdly, it's more transparent than our current process. They will get an auto-generated email with their project number and contact info of a district-level POC that will let them know who they can call to ask questions or email to ask questions, and a dashboard link to let them track their permit application progress in real time. So they will know their status, their application status through the system from the time they hit submit until we finish our process.
I don't know about you, Erin, but I'm excited to try out this tool. I kind of wish I had a permit to submit. this is all exciting. And I know that like anything that we develop, there's always an opportunity to have new capabilities, enhancements coming in the near future. So can you talk a little bit about what might be in store in the near term?
Absolutely. We're really excited. As I mentioned, we're still in that beta phase and we're working on some great new capabilities and enhancements, not only to fix bugs and to enhance user capabilities, but also to add capabilities. So we're working on the ability for the system to accept multiple requests at once. So a delineation report and a permit application at the same time for the same parcel. We're enhancing the dashboard that I just mentioned, that when a applicant submits a request for a permit, they have access to a dashboard to access the status of their action. So we're enhancing that dashboard with improved tracking and status updates. So more points at which they will be able to see where their action is. Fourth, public notice comments. Soon, resource agencies and the public will be able to submit their comments on our public notices directly through RRS. So we're increasing the number of things in our one-stop shop. And then finally, we're enhancing the ability to view mitigation bank in lieu fee program information via integration with our RBITS database, which is the database that holds all of that mitigation bank and in lieu fee information within it. So those are four of the capabilities that we're adding, and there are more also that are coming, but those are our four high level items that I wanted to mention.
Thanks, Jennifer. It sounds like RRS is really exciting. It's going to be efficient and beneficial to everybody. I'm really excited about it. And then I was thinking about to myself while you were talking, I'm like, man, if I'm so excited about this, does that just mean I've been a bureaucrat for too long? But I really think that this is something that's going to change how the public interacts with the Corps for the better. And I think that that's really awesome. So just really thank you for all the work that you and your team have done for this on this program. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time for today. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just want to share with your listeners just how proud I am of all of our regulators in the field and their dedication to delivering the mission to the public of our nation, not just the regulated public, but all of the interested public in our program. They are such dedicated professionals. And I think RRS is a real example of how they're leaning forward and really working with the tools that are available and leaning forward to make sure that as they're delivering, they're being as efficient and effective and user-friendly as possible. So I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and Angie and your listeners today about this really great cutting-edge technology that we're putting out there in the public. And it was time. It was time for us to step into the 21st century, and I'm really excited about this capability. So thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us today for this edition of Inside the Castle. We appreciate you and your insights. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and try RRS.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.